I'm Alex Chadwick. This is Day to Day. Compared to national averages, young Native American men are four times more likely to commit suicide. In Washington, the Senate Indian Affairs Committee has a hearing today on what to do about what's seen as a suicide epidemic. As Daniel Crocker reports from Arizona Public Radio, the committee is going to look at a suicide prevention program that seems to work for one Arizona tribe.
It happened nearly 4 years ago, but the day remains crystal clear in Linda Baja's memory. Her son Wacy was hungover. He'd come home the night before, drunk and high, after celebrating his 17th birthday with friends. She and her husband Lloyd were furious. They sent Wacy to his room, where he began punching the walls and cursing. And then it was quiet. About an hour later, Linda says her husband was in the backyard and looked through their son's bedroom window.
And all I heard him say was, "My baby," and that's when I knew, that instant. I ran after him down the hallway. He kicked his door open, and my son had wrapped an old middle school belt around his neck and hung himself in the closet.
Wacy, who had used drugs and alcohol since he was just 10 years old, was raced to the hospital. He was pronounced dead a half hour later.
And I just looked at them and I remember I said, "No, can't do that." I said, "Just keep working on him." And they said, "It's no use."
Wacy was one of 11 people on the Fort Apache Reservation in the mountains of eastern Arizona who took their own lives that year.
And it's a very hard, hard thing to deal with.
Linda Baja's openness about her son's suicide is unusual. Many Southwestern tribes have cultural taboos against even talking about death. But Baja is part of a new program, the Suicide Prevention Coalition, that aims to educate parents and increase awareness of suicide. She speaks at conferences and other events about her family's ordeal. Local community health director Katie Aday, who helped launch the program, says open discussion is the first step in preventing suicide.
We told them we're not going against culture. What we are trying to do is to get people aware of what's happening so that they can talk about suicide and about death without bringing bad luck to anybody or hurting anyone. What we want them to do is to be able to open up and help others.
A reluctance to talk about death wasn't the only issue, Aday says. There was also no established process to follow when someone attempted or hinted at suicide. Dr. David Yost, who directs the reservation's only hospital, agrees. He says the new program has changed that by focusing attention not just on suicide, but on those who attempt suicide on the reservation, about 160 already this year.
When I'm in the emergency room, I know that if I have a suicide attempter, I can get a social worker and a mental health worker in almost immediately to see that person. And that the next morning, there will be somebody out following up that person and their family. That's an enormous plus.
No one is certain why suicide is so prevalent here and on other reservations, especially in the Southwest. But White Mountain Apache social worker Georgianne Hendrick says drugs and alcohol play a big role.
I'd say 75% of them are alcohol-related. That person's intoxicated when they made their attempt. And they'll pass out and they'll wake up in the morning and then maybe somebody will tell them, "Hey, you know, you're in jail." "Why am I in jail?" "Oh, because, you know, you tried to hang yourself last night and somebody called the police and they came and got you." And they don't remember.
In addition to substance abuse, all agree disproportionately high levels of unemployment and poverty on the nation's reservations contribute to a sense of hopelessness among Native American youth. For NPR News, I'm Daniel Crocker.